Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
I don't know what I'm doing. You're gone. I swore I wouldn't miss you much. Such a shame.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Some years ago, singer and pianist Laura Berhen had a great idea. She wanted to make an album that sounded like Neil Young doing Motown. She even had a name for the project, the Minor Birds, after the birds that do such a good job of imitating human speech. But when she Googled Minor Birds to make sure the name was available, she found that someone had beaten her to the punch, namely Neil Young, who, along with Rick James and a bunch of others, had been part of a struggling Toronto band in the 60s by that name. Oh, and they were signed, briefly, to Motown. Well, Laura's Minor Birds, spelled with no H and as all one word, have had more staying power and have now released their third album, Lovers Know. They're here to play some of it for us today, beginning with a song called Velveteen. Here's the Minor Birds, live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That's Velveteen, the name of that song. Lovely live performance here in the studio by the Mina Birds. You'll find that song on their latest album called Lovers Know. The Mina Birds, the work of Laura Burhan at our piano and singing both live and doing some live looping here in the studio, right?
Yes.
Good to have you back with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you so much for having me.
With Bradley Hannon Carter on bass and a keyboard in front of him that we'll be hearing as well. Reese Richardson on guitar and Spike Phillips behind our drum kit. So Lovers Know is the name of the record. That's from it. And since, Laura, since you were last here, you have moved yet again, right?
Yes. I was in Omaha, Nebraska for 5 years. And when I was here for the last record, Generals was still living there, toured that record, went on tour as a member of the Postal Service in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time I played New York was Barclays.
Barclays Center. All right.
It was pretty exciting. and then got back and ended up doing a bunch of road tripping, drove across the U.S. twice and ended up in L.A., where I'm living now, and wrote a record there as well as kind of all over the rest of the world.
So does the L.A. record sound different from the Omaha record?
It is. I mean, I think each of my records sound very different. I kind of get antsy when it comes to the music that I want to make, and I love to explore different things. Like you mentioned, I started out with like a 60s throwback, Neil Young doing Motown.
Did I get the origin story right?
You got it perfect, and I think I want to have that recorded on my phone so the next time someone says, where did your band name come from? I'm going to say, well, let me let someone else explain that to you. It was perfect.
It was just so weird, so weird that you have this Neil Young doing Motown. Who would ever think of that? And then there was Neil Young as young man signed to Motown.
With Rick James. Which is even weirder and better. Somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, and it was truly serendipitous.
And some of the guys from the band were in that Mina Birds as well.
Yeah,
at one
absolutely.
Point.
I love finding out all those weird stories of people you don't know knew each other and worked together early on.
Yeah.
So that was one of them, and I thought it fitting for this band. But
well, on this record, there is a song called Omaha.
Yes.
Which is kind of a love song to the city, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I love Omaha, and it will forever be my home in some way, even though I'm not living there right now. The people are some of the greatest people you'll ever meet in the world, and I really felt totally loved and supported by that community and still do. We just got to play there the other night at Slowdown, which is Saddle Creek's venue, a stage that I played many times in Georgie James, my previous DC band, as the Mina Birds, and also doing a lot of like social and political and community work and helping start Omaha Girls Rock. And so it was really special to be back and sing that song there for that community of people.
Omaha, will you still call me darling? Omaha, will I still be your girl? When I come home from the thrill of hunting lions, mine and ruby-throated ridges from the world. I don't know if my cup will ever be full.
It's also a song kind of about sort of being able to do what you love and missing. Sometimes, you know, people can look at someone's Instagram account and say, wow, you travel all over the world. You get to go to all these beautiful places. And I'm at the same time looking at my friends' Instagram accounts and seeing that they're at, you know, my favorite dive bar having a beer. And I'm like, oh, I would give anything to be there.
So there's a line in that song about, you know, to the effect, you made me strong enough to leave you, so I did. You know, which, as relationships go, it's kind of a, there's a lot of stuff you can unpack from that song.
Yeah.
A line like that.
Made me strong enough to leave you, and I did.
It's a very loaded song, and I mean, I think different people can read it however you want to read it, because I think I probably meant it every single way. And you know, in some ways, like I said, it's sort of a song about questioning who you are and who I am in my career, and who I am as a friend, and who I am as a member of a community, and you know, am I failing or succeeding in all of those ways, and And that happens, you know, dark nights when you're sitting alone in a hotel room figuring out who you are and who you want to be.
Right. Now, can you write on tour in a hotel room between gigs, or do you need a block of time?
I do better with a block of time, but I feel like I kind of start writing subconsciously. So I need the road in mm-hmm. a way to start generating ideas, and I'll do little demos and write down little lines. And it's kind of like whatever sticks slowly starts unconsciously, subconsciously forming a record. I truly believe in the power of the subconscious. I mm-hmm. think it's way smarter than I am.
Well, you know, Stravinsky once talked about the Rite of Spring just kind of coming to him, and that he felt like he was just a vessel, a channel through which this thing came. That sounds like the subconscious at work.
Yeah? Absolutely. And I mean, so many musicians speak about songwriting that way, and I absolutely feel that that's my process, which is that I'm a conduit. You know, I'm like an antenna that's those songs are kind of out in the cosmos somewhere, and I'm just sort of hearing them. Mm. I hear them and then put them on tape and then give them to other people. So.
Well, there's a bunch of them on the new record. Lovers Know is the title. The last album, Generals, you came right out and said it's a concept record. Yeah. You know, is Lovers Know a concept album of a sort?
I guess it probably is to a certain extent. When I wrote Generals, that record was very much about being empowered and self-assured and figuring out what one person can do to make a difference in the world. And at the end of it, I kind of asked, like, what can we do in the face of so much atrocity and difficulty and challenge and inequality? And the answer I came up with was love. Mm-hmm. And it sounded in a lot of ways to me really trite and awful. And I was like, oh, God, this is terrible. But I think it's really true. And I came off the heels of that record wanting to write a bunch of love songs. And in my mind, I was going to write, like, baby-making music, like deep, deep grooves, like love songs. Like, what can we do in the face of adversity? Let's raise some good kids and make uh-huh. a change. But then I went through a breakup, and so I ended up writing sort of the reverse side of those love songs, which are, you know, darker. There's a lot of sadness and heartbreak in this record, but, you know, there's a lot of heartbreak, but it's also a lot of sort of the seeds of hope. And, yeah. you know, you hear that, and I think in each one of the songs, like even in Semantics, mm-hmm. it's like seeing the glass half full.
Or 1 foot.
Right.
Which you're going to do for us next. I mean, it seems pretty clear that, you know, that metaphor of just one step at a time.
Right.
You know, seems to be something that you get in a lot of the songs on this record.
Yeah, it's absolutely sort of just picking your chin up and looking to the horizon and saying, okay, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to start, you know.
All right. You want to play it for us?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll hear two songs here, 1 Foot and then Wildfire, both from the Minor Birds' most recent album called Lovers Know. They're playing for us here today in the Soundcheck studio. Here's the Minor Birds.
Sleep again until I'm laying with you. We'll move on beyond. But there must be a little iron left, left in us.
Once again, the Mina Birds, live on Soundcheck with Wildfire. And before that, we heard One Foot, both of them from the latest Mina Birds record, their third full-length LP called Lovers Know, which is out now. And once again, Laura Burhan at our piano and singing, Bradley Hannon Carter playing bass and keyboards and some singing, Reese Richardson singing and playing guitar, Spike Phillips. Now, there's a proper drummer's name. Spike Phillips. Behind our drum kit, triggering some electronic sounds here in the studio today as well. So you were talking before, Laura, about, you know, the subconscious is smarter than you are. And, you know, that's a big part of the creative and the artistic process for a lot of people. The title Lovers Know kind of gets to that. I mean, lovers don't really know anything, do they? Just kind of feeling their way and letting this...
blindly through the days and nights. Yeah, no, that was sort of the point. I thought, you know, Generals, like I said, was very much an album about knowing. And even though, ironically enough, Lovers Know is called Lovers Know, really it's about not knowing. It's about being uncertain but okay with the uncertainty. And I think that people who I admire, who I see as having like lived a very full life and loved well, regardless of whether that means that there's heartbreak with it or not, you know, that's sort of, I feel like that's their motto, which is like I said, blindly feeling through the days and nights and just trying, you know. It's really about getting back up again. Really.
Yeah. So who's out there? Who do you look to and think, yeah, that person has loved well? Is it like family? Do you see anybody on the... I mean, Yogi Berra just died, married to the same woman for, what, 65 years or something?
Yeah.
And they were inseparable. And...
you know who I adore?
Who?
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
He's, I feel like that's a man, you know, who was, he, like, that's sort of a perfect example of someone who really tried his best, was totally just destroyed as a president, you know, like, not remembered well as a president, but
right.
then gets back up and says, okay, I'm not going to let that keep me down. Goes on to, like, eradicate disease, you know, build houses for the poor, do all kinds of work for peace, and in the meantime, does it alongside the love of his life, his wife.
Right.
And so that's, like, the ultimate expression of being a real lover.
You know, it's a really, really good example. I mean, here's a guy who was crushed by circumstance as a president and
right.
arguably went on to become the most successful post-president that we've ever had.
And but even besides that, just one of the most successful human beings, like
right.
one of the greatest
right.
Americans that we have, you know?
Yeah. Now, generals, you know, you talked about being empowering and stuff. There was a kind of a, you know, feminist aspect to that empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
You recently toured through South Africa, right?
Yes.
Sort of celebrating creative women in that part of the world.
Yes.
What was that like?
It was really special. I was invited by a friend of mine who actually is on this tour with us, which is great to have her with us, my friend Jess. I met her in Omaha through Saddle Creek. And she invited me to come over and tour solo. And I worked with a nonprofit organization and ended up training up three singers with very different backgrounds in Cape Town. And they came on the road with me, and they were my backing vocalists. And, you know, we played sort of big established venues in Cape Town and Johannesburg, but we also played some smaller backpacking lodges on the Wild Coast and got to do some shows with kids from the local townships. And so it was really this sort of exciting almost like a cultural exchange. It was really an incredible experience.
Yeah. So you want to do Hanged Man for us next?
I would love to.
This is kind of one of the epics on the record.
Yeah, this is one of the first songs I wrote for the record. And when I was sort of going through this breakup in this challenging time, I got really into tarot cards.
Hmm.
And
which version?
There's a new version made by a woman in I'm gonna mess up her band name. I can't remember her band name, but it's a deck called The Wild Unknown. Kim Kranz is the woman who has done it, and she illustrated herself. It's really, really beautiful. And so
it's not like the old Egyptian tarot. It's not like one of the received tarot traditions.
It's new, and it's really beautiful. And so I got really into that, and I kept drawing this one card called The Hanged Man. And The Hanged Man is about it sounds really dark, but it's actually quite beautiful. And it's sort of it's meant to be when life is changing all around you, you are required to learn to sit still and just sort of accept it and enjoy the good things while they're with you and let the difficulties just sort of pass as they need to and just sort of learn to be still and understand that that's just how life goes all the time.
Well, you don't pack that into a 3-minute pop song, which is why this is one of the longer ones on the record. Let's hear The Hanged Man, live performance by the Mina Birds, playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio.
Yeah. The pony.
One final song from the Mina Birds here in the Soundcheck studio, that one called Hanged Man, once again from their most recent album called Lovers Know. So do you still pull a tarot card or two every now and again, Laura?
I do. I gave it up for a while, but it's quite funny that you asked if I was using any of the known tarot decks, because I started doing some research, and I actually just ordered one from eBay, which is supposedly this very rare one from 1974 from an artist in California. But I also discovered this beautiful set by W.T. Horton, who was great friends with W.B. Yeats.
Oh.
And so Yeats had written this introduction of an illustration book that Horton had done, and then they were friends. And so, like I was saying earlier, I loved to find out who are these strange friends that we didn't know about throughout history. So maybe that's what the next record will be about.
Okay. Well, the current one is called Lovers Know. Did you ever own a Mina Bird?
No.
Okay. No. I mean, I had a neighbor as a kid who had a Mina Bird, and the Mina Bird would actually say, "Mina Bird, say hello."
Really?
I think that was all the bird would say, but, you know, even that is pretty impressive.
It's talking
More
birds
than
are,
some people I know.
Yeah, right? Talking birds are fascinating.
Yeah. The band is The Mina Birds, and the album's called Lovers Know. Laura, to you and the guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
That does it for this podcast, but make sure to check out our archives of live performances, in-studio videos, exclusive music previews, and much more at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.
But you don't, but you don't. Struggle in silence to find your ghost. You're sitting half a world beside me. Something lonely, lovers know. Say something now.